Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. Now, here's your host, CJ.
Hi, welcome to Fire It Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. I'm CJ Liu, and this segment starts our four-part series on Fall Feng Shui with Bethany St. Clair, who is a Feng Shui designer, arranger, and interior consultant. Welcome, Bethany.
Welcome. Thank you, CJ. Delighted to be here.
Yeah, so I was excited about fall. Fall is one of my favorite seasons. I love everything about it, the leaves, the smell. It's just wonderful. I wanted to talk to you about feng shui for the fall. What does fall feng shui even mean? What are the things that we should anticipate for the fall?
Well, first of all, fall is one of my favorite seasons as well, and I really, really connect with this this time of year because it's the time of letting go of our past and shedding our clutter. Mm-hmm. And some of the characteristics we see for fall, it's a time of gathering. It's a time of bounty. So it can also be very, very scattered and a little overwhelming for people. But it's the time of the earth. And you see that in the colors that surround us during fall, starting with pumpkins and the fall foliage and that sort of thing.
What does it mean to be the time of the earth? What does that mean?
Well, in feng shui, every season is connected with an element, and for the fall, the element is the earth element.
Ah, I see. Okay, got it. So when you're saying it's connected to earth, and what does that mean when something is connected to the earth element?
Foods. We have gatherings surrounding foods, and the colors are yellow. And on a physical level, the areas that are affecting us in the fall season are the stomach, the spleen, and the pancreas.
Hmm. What does that mean when you say the stomach, the spleen, and the pancreas? So does that mean that during those times I should be watchful for those areas for health reasons?
Absolutely. If we're not careful, there are problems of digestion and blood sugar that are associated with this element. And then we can get negative because have a little bit of depression during this time of year because the days are shorter and there's less light. And there's also, as I said earlier, a period of overwhelm and overload. And let me give you an example of this. So we start with Labor Day. And kids start school, football season, baseball's closing out its season. We have all these activities going on. People start thinking about the holidays. And then in October, we have Halloween. You know, kids join soccer leagues, collegiate sports, high school sports are starting their season off. And then in November, we go right into Thanksgiving. So we go from Halloween with the sweets to Thanksgiving with the candy and the gathering, and everybody's a little agitated about Thanksgiving because they have to prepare all the food and lots of people coming over. And then we go right into Christmas, gift buying, more food, celebrate the new year, and then we're ready for a vacation the first 2 weeks in January. And what happens? We come down with the flu. Because our system, it happens all the time. Or we get a cold. Cold season starts, right?
Yeah.
So we really, really, if we start off the fall season right with feng shui, we can really eliminate a lot of these problems.
Oh, my goodness. Are you saying that I can eliminate my colds and the constant barrage of kid colds if I actually do feng shui?
Absolutely. And it's a little bit of maintenance, too, because, as I said, it's a time of gathering, so we're around more people, and it's just a reminder to wash your hands more frequently and those types of things. And it can really be very, very preventative.
Hmm. Interesting. You know, it's funny because as you were listing off all, it's funny because I was thinking, I am so stressed out right now, and I feel like we have not been able to get back to our routine because of the school year coming in, and you just get barraged mm-hmm. with a whole bunch of unfamiliar, like you're on a completely different schedule than you mm-hmm. have during the summer. And then there is all this kind of catching up because, I mean, I swear, like, I'm entering everything into the calendar every 2 seconds. And, like, every month that goes in, there's, like, a parent potluck and an annual fun drive. And it's just right. insanity. And as I was hearing you read through, which should be kind of a joyful, fun time, it totally stressed me out.
Exactly. It's very common. It's very common. And, you know, we go from the transition from summer to fall, so we go from that fiery, carefree element of summer into this gathering time, this earthy time of fall. And, actually the marketers have done a really good job. We should be out in nature more in the fall and enjoying our bounty and our the different colors and that sort of thing. But typically what happens is we sit more because we're watching more television and we're sitting. I mean, if you look at the TV broadcast, they start the new fall season. So mm-hmm. they're really trying to grab us and keep us seated when we really need to get up and be moving around and associating with other people.
Right. So what does it mean to let go? When you said that fall is a time of letting go and shedding the clutter, and it sounds like also enjoying the bounty. So I'm definitely hearing one of the things that you're saying is like, go out and enjoy it. Enjoy all the colors and things, but what does it mean about letting go?
Well, letting go would be taking care of the things from summer, putting those things away, letting go of those things that no longer serve us from the summer season, and letting go of things that we're no longer using. And that way we make room for all these different periods, calendar periods that come into our life in the fall season, starting with Labor Day, back to school. Anytime there's a transition, especially in the fall, it's one of the biggest, we mm-hmm. tend to collect more information. And you know, having children, you know, when fall season starts, you get school schedules. You talked about the calendar. They mm-hmm. fill up. Events, books. You have to purchase books for the kids. I mean, all different new back-to-school clothing. So no one says we have to do all of those things, but we've kind of taken it upon ourselves to get kind of a fresh start in the fall season. And it can be very, very hectic. So by letting go of things from the previous season, putting them away, first of all, and then letting go of the things we no longer use, we make room to have kind of a calm fall season.
Okay, got it. So it's almost like during the transition from the summer and fall, if I kind of did at the end of summer put everything away, then I'm not putting stuff away in the fall season in addition to preparing Thanksgiving and all these other things. I think I missed the boat on that one.
Yeah, well, it's never too late. Sure, so as we put summer away, you know, we bring forward fall and holiday season items. That way when we're ready to use them, they're right in front of us. We don't have to go
right.
digging to retrieve them.
I think I missed it. I think we should have had this show on Labor Day. No wonder I feel so stressed. I have the deck furniture. I'm like, yeah, that has to go in someday. And then it's like at the same time I'm entering all the calendar stuff. But I guess that's true. If you haven't properly closed out the summer season and you go into fall with all that stuff just kind of open action items, I think that probably does cause more stress. No wonder I got sick last week.
Yeah,
well, makes sense to me.
Think of your house as like you're the project manager for your house. You know, you close out old projects and you get ready for new ones. You can relate it any way that works for you.
Yeah, no, I hear that. So let's go back to the earth thing. So I'm still trying to figure out the earth elements because the feng shui has all these different elements, the earth and is it earth and fire and metal and all these other different, what are the elements again? There's fire, earth, water.
Metal, water, and wood.
Okay, so when you are in the earth month, it means that the earth is, I mean, what does it mean from a feng shui, like, philosophical standpoint?
Sure. First of all, it's color. Mm-hmm. The elements link to seasons, emotions, organs, and colors. So earth is represented by the color yellow, It's right. The late summer, early autumn time, and the organs that are affected in our body are the stomach, the spleen, and the pancreas.
Yeah, I get that. I know that it's a yellow, and I understand that it's fall, and I understand it's these things. So it's during. So what does that mean during this season when it's the earth element? I should be doing what with the color yellow, like placing that around my house, or what should I do with yellow now that I know that it's a color? I understand the health piece. Like I should be actually
sure.
be careful about my digestion and just mm-hmm. be watchful about stuff.
Well, the location of the earth element in a space using the Bagua is dead center in the room. So if there's clutter in the middle of any room, then that is where your earth element is, and that will affect your stomach and your spleen and your feeling of calmness. I'll give you an example. I was doing a house for a lady, and we were in the bedroom, and she wanted to buy one of those nice benches, you know, that goes at the end of your bed that looks really mm-hmm. cool if you have the space yeah. where you can sit and put your shoes on, that sort of thing. But it ended up being used as kind of a dumping area. And putting bags. And within a two-week period, she started coming down with a cold. And the first question I asked her was, you know, what's on your bench? And she said, oh, that just kind of became a catch-all. So we coached her to empty that out and clear it out, including everything under it, and just keep the middle of your room really, really clean and clutter-free. And that really helps as well.
Interesting. So you kind of look at the room, figure out what's in the center, clear it out, because somehow energetically when there's something kind of clutter in that, that affects your overall health.
Right, especially at this time of year.
I finally get it. Sorry for being so mm-hmm. dense. I just didn't get it before.
No. And then to balance that, you want to sit, it helps to sit quietly and breathe in feelings of happiness, you know, how much fun you're going to have at these gatherings, and just really tap into your stomach and your spleen and your pancreas.
Okay, no, I'm sorry to just be a needler on this, but the yellow then, what should I be doing if yellow is the color of fall? Should I be placing that color around me, or what should I do to affect the energy and harmony of my life with the color yellow?
Well, first of all, you can start wearing it. Grab a yellow scarf. It's getting colder out.
Mm-hmm.
You can eat things that are yellow.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool, okay.
And think of yellow, it can go into oranges too. So, mm-hmm. on the color palette, yellow goes, lighter and darker. So you feel free to move into the oranges with this, like pumpkin and that sort of thing. And, your diet changes with the seasons. You can add yellow maybe in your decorator pillows or something. And it mm-hmm. doesn't have to be really pronounced. I mean, people think they have to do a whole room change around yellow or, oh gosh, I've got to paint this room yellow. It can be very subtle. It can be very,
yeah.
And actually, I encourage people to look around their house because they already have that color in there.
Yeah. It's just bringing it out and highlighting the yellow
exactly.
item.
Exactly.
Excellent.
Exactly.
Excellent.
And you can have a rug with gold, and, you know, gold is a good complement to yellow, and gold works just as well. So.
Love it. All right. Thank you, Bethany St. Clair, for an overview of the fall season. It's a season of the earth element and the color yellow, and for the stomach, spleen, and pancreas. So time to clean out your clutter if you haven't already, because otherwise you're going to get sick. If you want to know more about Bethany St. Clair or hear more of our four-part series on feng shui, then continue listening to part two on Fired Up with CJ Live, playing every Thursday on the Transformation Talk Radio Network, or listen later on iTunes or at www.firedupwithcj.com. Part two's focus is your garage and other spooky areas in your house full of clutter. We'll be right back.
TransformationTalkRadio.com. TransformationTalkRadio.com, transforming the world one listener at a time.
If you've gone through a separation and feel disappointment, despair, loss of identity, and fear, there is a new pathway to joy for you. SoulWorks Coaching empowers you to go through this separation with soul and hope. So get ready to step into a new relationship with yourself and build a fabulous new life. Contact Monique today at 617-328-7113. That's 617-328-7113. And visit soulworkscoaching.com. Give yourself this gift of love today.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Ladies, are you living an inspired life? Do you yearn for a more passionate, dream-filled life? Here's Linda Joy, founder of Aspire Magazine, and she has a gift for you.
Aspire has launched its Mission to Inspire initiative with a commitment to give away 100,000 one-year digital subscriptions to women around the globe. Every subscription comes with a multitude of free gifts from our team inspiration partners.
To claim it all, go to AspireMag.net today. No purchase necessary. And live an inspired life.
Hey, Mary, I haven't seen you in so long. You look so different. What happened to your glasses? Did you have surgery?
Whoa.
I never noticed how blue your eyes are.
No, I didn't have surgery, and I don't have to wear glasses anymore. I searched the internet, and I found a website. It's called BetterEyesightNow.com. It is the best thing I have ever done. There's a program called Regaining Your Vision Naturally. And, oh, by the way, it helps reduce stress. You should check it out. And you might be able to get rid of your glasses. Go to BetterEyesightNow.com.
Welcome back to Fired Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. I'm CJ Liu, and this is segment two of our four-part series on Fall Feng Shui. That's hard to say, Fall Feng Shui. And I have Bethany St. Clair, Feng Shui designer, arranger, and interior consultant. Welcome back, Bethany.
Thank you, CJ.
So now we're going to go to that awful place in our house. For me, at least, it's the garage full of postponed decisions and other clutter. So, I'm sure you've worked on people's garages before. Help us feel better about, if we do have a mayhem in our garage, help us feel better. What's typically in a garage that you see out there in California?
Money.
Money?
I see money. People have a treasure trove in their garages and they don't even know it. It's just amazing. The Department of Transportation a couple of years sent out a statistic that 63% of our garages are so filled with stuff that we can't get our cars in them. And our car is our second largest and in many cases our largest personal investment next to our home, and we can't fit them in the garage. And every time I go into a garage, I see just money. If people wanted to, I mean, there's a treasure in people's garages, and it's just amazing. And it happens. It's kind of the bowels of the house, you know, the basement, the garage, sometimes the family room are really the bowels of the house. And for those people that are lucky enough to have a garage, you know, in California, a lot of people, well, I'm sure everywhere, a lot of people don't have the luxury of a garage. They'll have a carport or just, you know, a parking spot. And garages are really a lot of fun if you put things together by category and by classification. But, oh, gosh, there are all kinds of things. I mean, one time we were cleaning out, I was working with a client cleaning out her garage. She had a three-car garage, actually, and that can get kind of dangerous, too. But it seems like the larger space people have, the little more dangerous it gets. But gosh, there's anything from chemicals in there to, you know, I've seen just all kinds of gross things. But the good news is I've actually found a lot of money in people's garages, not just with material things, but one time a lady put a couple of boxes out. Her father had passed away, and she had inherited his furniture, and it kind of got dumped in the garage, and we were going through some boxes, and toward the bottom of the third box was a check for $7,200 that she had forgotten to cash. It came from the insurance company. She couldn't find it. So lo and behold, she was $7,200 richer. But there are all kinds of things in people's garages. And, you know, it gets really visceral with families because everyone kind of dumps their stuff in there. So it's really about good communication and establishing zones for people. So if a husband likes to do, you know, car work or something, and he has a great set of tools, and he wants those just so, like most guys do or most full people do, then put those in a specific zone, and that's kind of a hands-off zone. It really helps, you know, if kids know where to put things, if you have a zone for children's bicycles and toys and that sort of thing, it's really, really helpful. And there's some great websites out there, just, you know, garage storage units, garage, Rubbermaid makes some terrific things, RevaShelf makes some terrific things for garages, and there's just amazing ways that you can shelve things and categorize them. Again, it's all about retrieval, so...
So let's give me an example. You mentioned a couple of zones. So there's like a individual zone for each person in the house. What are some typical zones that you see in a garage to help us kind of frame it a little bit?
Well, there's the kind of work and repair zone where you'll see a typical workbench, and, you know, that's where you'd repair like flat tires and maybe if someone has a hobby and that sort of thing. And then there's the whole side of wrapping paper, and a lot of people don't like to keep their wrapping paper in the garage, but if you have it in a nice container, it'll be fine. It won't get dusty or any of that, but it all, and just keep all of that outside. So that when you in the garage, that is, so that when you need it, it's right there, and you can just walk into the house and wrap presents. And I'm thinking of garages that are attached to the home.
Right.
If the garage is not attached to the home, then that's a whole different set of variables. And the things that you need for the house, you need to kind of bring in the house. But garages are a great place for back storage. You know, when you're on overflow, you can put items out in the garage if it's connected with the house. In many places in the Midwest and the East Coast, garages are not connected to the house, or they have a breezeway attached to them. So that offers a whole it's all about easy access. So wherever you can access items, the easiest is where you'd put them.
Okay, so you have these zones that are put in these boxes so that when you need to find it, you can find it really quickly. So you would have a work and repair zone or like a holiday zone with wrapping paper and, you know, Halloween doodads. And then, you know, other things that you're going to be storing out there, just making sure it's labeled. And when you talk about zones, I kind of visualize like special places that you have in your, like, you know, the left corner of the garage is your zone, right corner is my zone. Is that what you mean by zones? Is that then putting everything in a specific zone? Is that what you mean by zone?
Right.
Okay.
And first you have to declutter everything, and then you take the remaining inventory and decide if you're going to shelve it or hang it or, you know, fold it away. So it just depends on the type of inventory.
The problem that I have is the miscellaneous zone. It's stuff that what do you do with this miscellaneous
stuff? Well, yeah, that's a really good question. And for me, even in filing, I don't even use that word. I take it right out of the vocabulary because miscellaneous, nobody knows what that means. And you can't find anything in miscellaneous. So what I recommend is for people to really sort through that miscellaneous and then find zones for where those things really go. And it could be compatibility pieces, you know, like, oh, gosh, if you're into cycling or something, it could be something that really goes in the cycling section.
Got it. Okay, so if we go clean our garage and we clean out the clutter, then energetically what it does, because it's fall, is we're letting go of the kind of chaos and mayhem, and it just puts us in a better, less stressful, less depressed state. Correct? Is that the whole idea?
Absolutely. And Yeah. And many times when the garage is connected to the house, we enter the garage through, or we enter the house through the garage. So it's so much more peaceful. In fact, a funny little thing that really works.
Oh, you know what? We actually have, we only have one more minute, so save that story for later. Sorry about
cool.
that. All right. No problem. So we have, thank you, Bethany St. Clair, for, inspiring me to kind of go into the deep, dark recesses of our garage. It's an unattached one, but it's scary, I think. Even the fear is not helpful. It's a room of postponed decisions. So thank you. All of our cars, thank you. We also thank you. Hopefully I'll find a $7,200 check when I go in there. If you want to know more about Bethany St. Clair or hear more of our four-part series on feng shui, then continue listening to part three on Fired Up with CJ Live, playing every Thursday on the Transformation Talk Radio, or listen later on iTunes or at www.firedupwithcj.com. Part three is creating a cozy family room and warming up that basement area. We'll be right back.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of The Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host@transformationtalkradio.com.
Imagine you had a way to protect yourself from cancer, depression, and disease, and dispel the nastiest bugs that attempt to hide undetected. Take a moment to wonder, how good does that feel? How powerful. Did you know that enough golden sunlight produces vitamin D in your body to protect itself against disease? Producing enough vitamin D can kill cancer cells, reduce blood pressure and inflammation, and even help with weight loss. This amazing little vitamin is actually not a vitamin at all, but a powerhouse of protection that can activate your body's innate healing ability, but only if you have enough in your blood to shine the light. Tune in and listen to award-winning author Dr. Lucinda Messer share how you can harness the power of sunlight to create a healthy body and mind. Her book, Powerful Medicine Vitamin D, Shedding Light on a Worldwide Health Crisis, is like having a vitamin D expert on hand to answer all your health questions. For more information, visit PowerfulD.com. That's PowerfulD.com.
Hey, hey, welcome back to Fire It Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio. I am CJ Liu, and this is segment three of our four-part series on fall feng shui. And we have the pleasure of having Bethany St. Clair, a feng shui expert, designer, arranger, and interior consultant from San Francisco. Welcome, Bethany.
Hey, CJ.
So I wanted to talk about We've already talked in part two about the garage, and then the next nemesis really is the family room. And sometimes that's also combined with the basement area. So I wanted to talk to you a little about that room in particular, because it seems like we had said in the first segment that fall is all about gathering, you know, watching football games and, you know, hanging out doing pumpkin carvings. And a lot of that stuff, I think, probably happens in the family room. Am I right?
Mm-hmm. Sometimes, yes.
So what's...
I mean,
what
definitely
is,
on the football, yeah.
Yeah, so what's the focus of the family room? I mean, and the basement. What is the energetic... What's the intention of those rooms?
Well, depending on where you live, a lot of people don't have basements. And for those that are lucky enough to have them, take a look at your basement. Is it finished? Is it unfinished? Is it another place where it just becomes the bowel of the house, you know, where just things go that don't have a place or you don't know what to do with them? And if the basement is finished, then it becomes a gathering place. And, again, keep it clutter-free. You can have zones. A lot of times people have hobbies. They do hobbies in their basements and that sort of thing. You know, it could be another office area. The possibilities are endless when you have a basement. I think the key to making it warm and cozy in a basement is to have the proper lighting if it's a functional space. If it's not a functional finished space and it's just used as kind of a catch-all, then, again, I would encourage people to create zones and get some shelving in there for putting various things on so you can see and retrieve your inventory easily. But the key is lighting down there because most basements don't have a lot of lighting.
Okay, got it. And so the family room, then, the intention of that, whether it's a family room or a finished basement, it's really just about gathering. And so that's the intention. How do we honor that intention? What kind of energies do we want to insert in those rooms to affect our overall well-being and health?
Well, that's a really good question. And architects for probably the past 10 years and home builders have really been focusing on larger family spaces and smaller living room spaces because they realize how important this gathering is, and or they call it the great room. And my big thing with family rooms is to really arrange the furniture for the purpose of conversation, and then again look at your zones. So is the primary goal to, you know, watch football or have family, you know, movie night? If so, then where are you putting your television and your flat panel screen, and then have your furniture arrangement around that? Probably one of the biggest mistakes I see in the family room is as you enter the family room, and often it's from the kitchen, that entry point, you look at the room and it's blocked by a long sofa. And you're blocking the chi to the family room. And what I like to do is put the sofa on the opposite side of the room so that who's ever sitting on the sofa can see who's coming into the family room. Mm-hmm. And that way the room looks larger, but it's also more and more inviting. Instead of blocking the chi and kind of saying, you're saying to the energy, gee, I really don't want you in here. So really opening up the living room by putting the long sofa so that the people sitting on the sofa can see who's coming into the family room. Mm-hmm. So furniture arrangement plays a big, big part in the family room and how it functions.
Is there anything else about, because there's usually a TV, is there a feng shui idea on where you would put the TV?
Well, I'd have to see the room. It varies from room to room. If you're lucky enough to have a fireplace, a lot of people are putting television sets above the fireplace. If you have that luxury, I kind of like to see a flat panel screen off the floor. It's a lot tidier, if not on a rolling console, so you have a lot of options, and that way you can rotate where the TV is being placed throughout the year. So, you know, you have a winter location, you have a summer, spring. I like to move furniture with the seasons. When you're living in a space that the seasons are real defined.
Okay. So why would you move that furniture around during the seasons then? What would be the reason for that?
Well, for example, in the fall and in the winter, you know, things feel heavier and you want to cozy up with blankets and shawls and comforters and things like that. It's fun to do in the family room, add those pieces. And then in the summer, you lighten things up. So in the summer, the predominant feature of a family room isn't the the TV. It's probably lighter, has a lighter feel.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Well, what's an example of lighten up? Like, is that, I don't know what that means to lighten it up. Does that mean like you have, is that literally more light, or like you would have different kinds of things? Like you clearly wouldn't have the shawls and the cozy comforters.
Right. And one of the ways to lighten it up is to move the TV so that it's not the predominant feature when you walk into a room.
I see. So it's kind of like the idea of like cozying up and being like caveman person and like cozying up and hunkering down versus summer. It's like letting go and clearing everything away to make space.
Exactly. Opening the doors, opening the windows. So your eye goes out to nature and plants in the room and lighter things in the summer and spring.
Got it. So what are some things that, you know, give us a sense of when you've gone to a family room and the transformation and its effect on people's, like, kind of a before and after of going into someone's family room. What did you do, and how did it affect their life afterwards?
Well, so many times I'll go into family rooms, and they're just overrun with children's toys.
Mm-hmm.
And number one, kids don't need that many toys. And your outer space is a reflection of your inner space. So when kids have that many toys and that many options, they get confused and they get chaotic and they get agitated. It's almost like they're running around with this sugar high filled with chaos from their outer environment.
Mm-hmm.
So I really encourage thinning out the toys and maybe having, a conversation with relatives about, you know, the toy thing on birthdays and holidays, or whatever family traditions are. I don't want to usurp anyone's family traditions, but we don't need that much stuff. You know, it'd be much nicer to spend that money and take a trip to Disneyland, you know, have a Disneyland fund or something that people can contribute to. But, again, it's a lifestyle change. And, again, create zones, really clearly defined zones. A lot of people, if they have the luxury, have a small, like, game table in the family room, which is really fun for kids. They can do puzzles. They can do kind of brain activities. And then they get to gather around a space, and the adults get to interact with the kids. It's really a lot of fun.
Yeah, did you have an example? So when you actually went and you pared down the toys with this, just pick a hypothetical family, what happened as a result of paring down the toy?
Well, the funniest thing, this one living room, family room, it was, you could hardly see the furniture. There were so many toys in there. And what happened was the mom was so chaotic because all she felt like she was doing was picking up the toys. So we kind of really looked at them and really thinned out and got the kids involved about letting things go. And we probably got rid of 2/3 of the toys and talked to them about donating it and going to the library and donating books. And they were so much calmer. They were able to communicate a lot better. The way the family functioned was everything just calmed down, and they really felt more joyful, which I was really hoping that would happen, and it did.
Mm. And when the kids get older, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is really rearranging the furniture. That's where I see the biggest result.
Right. The biggest impact.
Kind of. Yeah. Exactly.
And is the impact when you did, you know, rearrange a couch so that the energy flow was better, you mentioned earlier, what happened to that person's family as a result of changing the couch orientation?
They used it more. They used the family room more.
Mm.
Before it wasn't being used. Yeah.
Now, nobody you mentioned
to go in there.
No, you mentioned when kids are younger, it's about toys. When they get older, it's about, like, homework and doing homework and getting together. How does the family room change in terms of what kind of things do you focus on then? Because it's about, you know, PC usage, getting together and doing work, that kind of stuff.
Right. This really taps into family values and how you want to raise your kids. And my boys are 23 and 25 now, so I made probably every mistake possible. One thing I would encourage you with homework is, we had a computer in every bedroom, every kid's room, and it was a disaster because I would wake up at 2 in the morning and there was a little light on and my son was playing video games in the fifth grade at 2 in the morning. So we yanked the computer out of his bedroom. So I would not encourage computers in bedrooms. I would encourage them in a central place and maybe, again, create a zone for homework where if they had any questions, you could be there to respond or show them how to use the internet. I mean, kids are pretty savvy today, but A lot of them, I know my sons would go over to friends' house and they would just gather at the dining room table with their laptops and write their papers together.
Interesting.
And,
so yeah, the family room isn't like their study room area. It's usually not the family room is not the study room. It's kind of a different thing altogether.
It can be. It can be. Absolutely, it can be. Yeah, it just depends on the layout of the house and where the energy is. And, it really depends.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, because we actually redid our family room so that it's more of a study room. And it did actually impact our gathering together, because, like, when we gather, it's like we're working and gathering, which is a little bit changes the energy. The whole idea of having, that you mentioned, like having a table where you put puzzles together and you play games, that kind of got interrupted when we put all those workstations in there because we didn't have enough room. Anyways, thank you, Bethany St. Clair, for ways to cozy up our family room and also our basement using feng shui. If you want to know more about Bethany St. Clair or to hear more of our four-part series on feng shui, then continue listening to part four on Fired Up with CAJ, live playing every Thursday at the Transformation Talk Radio Network, or listen later on iTunes or www.firedupwithcj.com. The next part four's focus is going to be tasty tips on getting our house organized. Bethany's going to share her five-step process that she uses to get things organized. We'll be right back.
Are you at a crossroads? Feeling stuck? I'm Karen Hager, the Fog City Psychic. My gift is helping people who are in transition receive spirit-led guidance about their next steps. I offer private sessions via phone or Skype, intuitive development classes, and much more. Please visit my website, fogcitypsychic.com, to find out how I can help you move out of the fog.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Ladies, are you living an inspired life? Do you yearn for a more passionate, dream-filled life? Here's Linda Joy, founder of Aspire Magazine, and she has a gift for you.
Aspire has launched its Mission to Inspire initiative with a commitment to give away 100,000 one-year digital subscriptions to women around the globe. Every subscription comes with a multitude of free gifts from our team inspiration partners.
To claim it all, go to AspireMag.net today. No purchase necessary. And live an inspired life.
Hey, Mary, I haven't seen you in so long. You look so different. What happened to your glasses? Did you have surgery?
Whoa.
I never noticed how blue your eyes are.
No, I didn't have surgery, and I don't have to wear glasses anymore. I searched the internet, and I found a website. It's called BetterEyesightNow.com. It is the best thing I have ever done. There's a program called Regaining Your Vision Naturally. And, oh, by the way, it helps reduce stress. You should check it out. And you might be able to get rid of your glasses. Go to BetterEyesightNow.com.
Optimize your breast cancer screening without any radiation or pain. Effective, sensitive, and widely used thermal imaging in Europe is now available to you here in the U.S. Using state-of-the-art FDA-approved camera, Eastside's first and only breast thermography clinic is now open in Bellevue. Safe, sensitive, low cost, no referrals needed. Contact Holistic Medical Center at 425-451-0404 or on the web, drdarvish.com.
Hello, welcome back to Fired Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio. I'm CJ Liu, and this is segment four, our final segment on feng shui, fall feng shui, with Bethany St. Clair, who is offering some fabulous tips on how we can get organized, let go of all our fall or summer clutter, and get into really cozying up. So welcome, Bethany.
Thank you, CJ.
So tell us about, you said that you have a five-step process that will help us organize. Tell us a little bit about what that process is and how you would use it.
Sure. I call it the CLEAR system or the CLEAR process, and it's an acronym. The first step is choose mm-hmm. and classify. The second step is lose. The third is establish zones. The fourth is allowing remaining items to be placed. And the fifth is just reducing your stuff in containerized items. So I can walk through that real clearly, and I like to use the example of laundry for this process because everybody tends to have laundry and has to do it. But step one, you want to separate and sort things by classification. So when you put them by classification, then it's easier to see what your inventory is that you're working with. And then during that process, if you have a sock with a hole in it or something that you no longer use or doesn't fit, then the second step would be to lose items that you're no longer using and make separate piles for those. So the piles would be giveaway, throwaway, donate or sell are the three categories. Mm-hmm. And then everything else that's not in those categories you keep. Mm-hmm. So then the third step would be is establishing zones for the remainder of those items that you want to keep. Mm-hmm. And so this would be like after the laundry is washed and dried. And I encourage people to think location, location, location. Use the items the items that you use frequently. It's very simple. You keep them close to you. The items that you use less frequently can be put away in drawers. Think about retrieval as well, if you're left-handed, if you're right-handed. With clothing, you know, guys, I like to create baskets for guys, teenagers, and adolescents, because they'll fold their pair up their socks and then throw them in a bin. And there's some great bins that you can get that just fit nicely in closets and keep that stuff out of sight. Some people like their jeans folded, other people like their jeans hanging. So it really depends on the purpose a person. But it's really about location. If you're the type of person that wears jeans every day, then you want to keep those in the front of the closet where you can access them. If you occasionally wear jeans, then they go in more toward the back of the closet or not right dead set in front of you. Think about if you're left-handed or right-handed. You know, do you use the left-handed side of your closet more than the right-handed side? It's all about easy retrieval. So each system works very individually. And then the fourth step is allowing or allocating space the remaining items to be placed in containers. And this is really, really important, containerizing, whether it's a drawer or a file, and I'm talking about things other than laundry now, but how you containerize things really enables you to see how much inventory you have. So, for example, you know, if you have your socks in a drawer or a basket and all of a sudden the sock drawer is full, everything's washed and you're caught up, then maybe you can let go of some socks that you no longer use. So that takes us to the fifth step, which is reduce your inventory in these containers by going right back up to step one and sorting again by classification. So it's a five-step process, and it just cycles back around to the top. It's really, really simple and really effective, and I'd be happy to email your viewers if they're interested in more detailed information on that. But you cycle through, and it's like your incoming mail. Say you have that in a basket or something. Mm-hmm. So once that gets filled up, you go right back up to the top step, and you sort things by classification. You know, you stand over the shredder or the wastebasket and let go of the junk mail. Mm-hmm. And then you keep everything that you're going to keep. You establish zones for items you have to take action on, for example, bill paying, for things you need to file, events for calendarization, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Got it. So we could use the same process on everything that we've talked about today. So if you're in your garage, you basically choose or classify, which I assume that what you mean by that, in the laundry case, it's like color, stuff and white stuff. Is that the choose and classify?
Exactly.
Okay, so when you're in the garage, you look and say, okay, I've got my wrapping stuff. I have, like, holiday stuff. I have, like, work and repair stuff. That's for, like, auto. I have, like, gardening stuff. And so you kind of classify, like, the major categories of things within that room. Then you go through each zone, and you basically, so, like, I would go into my work zone, like, my work and repair zone and say, okay, I'm either going to give something away, throw it away, or donate it. So I'd go into that zone and, like, do that. And how do you recommend doing it so that it's not overwhelming? Because I usually try to do one of these things in the weekend, and then I get overwhelmed, and I never want to do it again for another year or two.
Well, you're absolutely right, and there's a couple of ways you can do that. But first of all, the sorting part of it is the most overwhelming because that's where the decision-making takes place, and it really takes about 70% of the time. It's very emotional, and people just don't like to do it. And that's where calling in a professional organizer or someone really helps because they can walk you through the steps of decision-making. Like, do you really love it? Do you use it? When was the last time you used it? Can you let it go? And that sort of thing. But the way to do that is to really start small and chunk it down. Okay. So just start with an area or whatever you're up for. Like, you just start with a drawer in your dresser, for example, or just start with a little corner and then chunk it down and gradually work up to something larger, because you really can't put anything in containers until you know what your inventory is, and you won't know what your inventory is until you've let go of what you're no longer using. So that's why, by using the process and keeping it in that fashion, that's really the best way to make it makes it a little easier to make those decisions, if that makes sense. But start small. That's most people get on overwhelmed because they want to do the whole closet or they want to do the whole garage, and unless you have a team of 8 people helping you, it's going to be really overwhelming and not fun.
Right. So whether it's your family room that we talked about in segment 3 or your garage, just pick one area. Like, today I will just sort through the gardening equipment, and then I'll be done. I'll put all the gardening equipment together so that it's in a classified area. I'm going to sort through that, and then I'm going to walk out of the garage and be done with it. And then the established zones, okay, then you kind of look like, okay, how am I going to organize the gardening equipment? So stuff I use all the time, a lawnmower, I can actually get too quickly. Stuff that I don't use, it's okay to actually put it in a different place. That's establishing. So I choose and classify. So I say the first step is choosing the gardening stuff. I then sort it into give, throw away, donate. Then I establish a zone, and I try to figure out within the zone how do I organize it so that it's organized based on how I will use it and the frequency of using. And then allocation is, that's kind of like, well, there's some stuff that I don't know what to do with. I can just probably put in a container because I'm not going to be using it that frequently. And then reducing is like, really, do I need these many shears? Like, how many shears do I need? And then giving that away. And then you start all over again. Is that right?
Exactly.
Yeah, and it seems like even within that zone, you could establish little mini zones, right? It's like, these are to kind of clip, and these are to kind of prune, and like, whatever. I'm not a gardener.
Exactly. Yeah, if that's the way somebody's mind thinks, then I tell them to go with it. And on the step 4, the containerize, it's really a lot of fun because that's when you can get creative and use decor items and really make it look pretty. And, if you're going to have to go dig into it, you might as well have it in a pretty container or something.
Yeah, and the container, I assume it's like container stuff that you don't use very often, but it's not ready to throw away either, so you need to actually put it in a safe place. But it's okay to just close it off and put it in a shelf back in the recesses of whatever.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Excellent. Okay, so thank you. I feel like I have some hope. I love the idea of the center being the earth place, and if you have like a clutter in that area, it's probably going to cause you a certain amount of anxiety. So I love that. Thank you, Bethany, for all your awesome tips and your clear process. If you want to get more information about Bethany St. Clair or at Fire, you can go to Fire It Up with CJ, or you can listen to this whole 4-part series, or you can go to iTunes, or you can go to my website. So many different places you can go. All right, so join us next week. We'll have Ragini. A big thanks to Chris, our station manager at WBLQ, and Bethany, thank you so much for your time. Great tips. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
You've been listening to Fire It Up with CJ. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for more of Fire It Up with CJ. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.